When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Real quick, BT, before we shift to the football for a second, there's some good stuff coming out with Sasaki's agent, Joe Wolf, who's been talking, saying that the Japan media has been very tough on him, that he's been treated unfairly. Sasaki has it affected him mentally a little bit. He did add that he thinks he still could handle New York, but that's something to keep an eye out for if he doesn't want a big market because of the media.
I mean, why were they unfair? His numbers were really good. Yeah. I mean, borderline scintillating, so I don't know what the division was. How critical were they? Well, the unfair is the interesting word. Not critical, not right. Harsh, unfair.
I'm curious
about that.
Interesting. Anyway, point is, if he's looking to shy away. By the way, that would also take the Dodgers out of the picture.
I don't know if the Dodgers media is that tough. You think
really?
They're day-to-day?
It's
second biggest, right? Second biggest market. But I don't think, maybe I'm understating it, you think that they hold the baseball team accountable like we do?
Yeah, no, I don't.
There's sports radio out there?
Yeah. By the way,
really?
I promise you, Sasaki. What's it, Roki? I promise you, Roki, I'll take it easy on you, big guy.
Yeah,
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Come to New York. We'll be friendly.
Yeah.
Soto Sakis for everybody. Anyway, so the NFL, we wanted to get into that. We'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. I'm at the point, BT, we've had this conversation. You were ahead of it. I believed that Dable was going to get things stabilized, at least to a certain extent. It hasn't. The competitive nature of the Giants games early on, that's gone away. I've never seen a worse offensive team for the better. Dude, 3 years now. It's not 3 weeks. It's not a season. It's 3 years. I don't know how anybody could, and while I could make a case for like, hey, stay the course and stick with it, and I still believe in Dable, because I do to a certain extent, how can anybody make the case to keep these guys around beyond this year? Like, why not just clean out, start fresh with a top pick, mm-hmm. and get a new regime in here?
I would, but I think that the only reason why you wouldn't, at least from Mara's perspective, is that he's embarrassed by the constant change. And I think if you ask every Giants fan right now, and I've obviously had a real honest conversation with Mara, and say, all right, Mr. Mara, why do you want to bring back Brian Dable, right? Got the hiccups all of a sudden. Sorry about that.
What'd you eat? You just said
a couple nothing.
Chips?
Just a couple, like the kettle corn, the healthy ones.
I know you usually go for those Cheetos.
Yeah. Sometimes the Cheetos, but the Cheez-Its. Those are good.
Regular Cheez-Its?
They got the white ones.
Okay, the white
Then
cheddar.
They have the convention ones, but now they have the extra cheesy Cheez-Its.
And that's the ones you like?
I do, but they don't have them. But we have those in the pantry closet at home. Yeah. So I've got to go for the original cheesy ones.
All right.
So if Mara's going to really sit down and construct a list of why should he stay, why should he go, what tangibly outside of, well, I think he could do this or I think he could do that, tangibly, what are the reasons that you would keep this duo? Like what?
Tangibly, I don't think you can make a case for it anymore.
That's kind of my point.
There is I was trying to make a case for staying the course, be stable. Now, this was going into the season. This was week two, week six even. Like, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And it's not just the excuse of the bad quarterback. I never thought it was just Daniel Jones' fault, but it's beyond that.
Yeah.
This is a freaking disaster. Their defense is no good. They're non-competitive. Even teams with bad quarterbacks score points. I mean, my God, it's infuriating. So to answer your question, I can't. There is no tangible reason other than just saying we don't want to change because we've changed before. Or blind belief in little things that you've seen over 3 years.
Yep.
I mean, the only tangible thing was year one. He took a team with no talent to the postseason. But even then, it was a clear overachievement, and it wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, and you don't abandon your beliefs, like, however few and far between they might be, if deep down, Mara and the rest of the ownership group, Tish, if they really, but more so Mara, if he really believes that Brian Daboll is going to evolve into the coach that all of us at one point certainly thought he would be, and many of us still think that he could be, varying degrees of confidence for sure, but I think many of us think in a different situation, Brian Daboll could be good, if not really good. But he's going to have to answer to the optics of the season. And there you get to a point where you can't ignore it. And you're going to have the rest of the way 15, 20,000 empty seats. The weather's getting worse. The holidays. So Giants are winless at home. They're boring. This is just a continuation of last year. It's gotten worse. They don't seem to be playing very hard. They don't have a lot of talent. So you want to certainly incorporate that and bake that into the evaluation of the coach. But I just think that it's getting to the point where it's untenable, where even if you like Daboll, right, about Mara, how do you look at your fans in the eyes and say, I still believe in this person? It's going to be very hard to do it.
And you can't. And the only way to do it would be to extend them, and I've said this many times, beyond next year. So let's say I do, even without tangible evidence, mm-hmm, I believe in Shane and Daboll. I want to see more of Shane, and I believe in Daboll. Let's say that I do. Why take the risk of extending them now beyond next year? Because next year it's going to be a new start. They're going to have a top pick, and all likelihood it's going to be a quarterback, and you're restarting. Why take that risk when you've seen them for 3 years versus just moving on now and bringing in a more known commodity or better situation with a new quarterback? Like, what's the risk? What? Daboll's going to be some all of a sudden genius in a couple years? More likely you get burned by sticking with him, mm-hmm, than making a change right now. So I just don't see the risk-reward making any sense to keep that.
Well, the only question that you need to really ask yourself if you are moving toward the part of the conversation where you and I certainly seem to reside at this point, probably going to have to make a change. The only question that matters is who you bring it in.
Okay, now
that's all that matters.
Now I know where you're going with this. I cannot hire Bill Belichick. I think he is unhireable. And let me preface it by saying I love Bill Belichick. I loved everything he's been as a coordinator, as a head coach, all that he brings to the table. Like, that is my wheelhouse. I love Parcells. I love Belichick. However, at this particular point, I had reservations anyway about hiring him. And then recently I went back and watched the Dynasty show that's on Apple Plus.
I still have to get to it.
You got to watch it.
You were telling me about
this. Dude, if you watch that, he is unhireable. You understand why he did not get hired by the Falcons or anybody else for that matter in the NFL. He created a toxic work environment with the Patriots. Now, he won a Super Bowl while doing so. This is like the last one that they won. But Brady couldn't stand him at the end. We all know about it. Kraft couldn't stand him. Like, the game hasn't passed him by, like the X's and O's haven't passed him by.
Yep.
His way of handling a football program is antiquated. And I you cannot, to me, that would be the biggest disaster that the Giants can make. Bill Belichick is unhireable.
Oh, I definitely don't think he's unhireable, but I don't know from his perspective. I just don't understand what the allure of going to college would be. This flirtation, and I believe it's more than just a surface flirtation to generate some interest in the NFL with North Carolina. I think that he's sincerely intrigued by it, and you just heard the update with Bogus where, you know, outside of salary, they would have to devote some real resources to the infrastructure of the school, and that means buildings and stuff. Now, at his age, by the time that all comes to fruition, I mean, is he going to really reap the rewards of it? No, but his son will, and that's obviously
right,
the thought that he would be, that he would succeed him there. Now, okay, independent of the Giants for a moment, and I would hire him for the Giants. I would, you wouldn't, got
I want
it.
You to watch that show.
I'm going
get
to.
Back to me on 100%. That.
Yeah. But to me, I don't understand why college would be appealing to Bill Belichick now.
It makes no sense.
I could see why college in the 70s and the 80s, you blow the whistle, everybody snaps at attention, most schools, you know. Or maybe if you went to, like, I mean, West Point doesn't need a coach, but what, they've had a great year. One of the academies that was struggling where the young men and women there, for sure, are just, they're inherently different. They're motivated by the respect and the, like, they're not going to ask any, they're going to do, drop down and give me 50, their nose is in the dirt before your last syllable comes out of your mouth. Like, that's the way the academies go. Why would Bill Belichick Belichick want to go to a school and have to deal every single year with a transfer portal? And not only because I know this at St. John's and the other schools in the area, I know that, all right, so we give player X, you know, 500 is on the low end, $500,000 to come and play for school, University Y, right? Well, let's say he has a good year. You've got to then re-recruit him and probably give him $200,000 more to stay. Why is Bill Belichick going to deal with that nonsense at the age of, what is he, 74?
I have an answer.
Why is he signing up for that?
I have an answer.
Why? Because nobody else in the NFL wants him?
Correct. That would be step one, and he just wants the coach. And also, is it inconceivable to think that he can be hired as the head coach but also delegate all that nonsense and bull crap to, say, Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels, whatever, like the recruiting trial, the NIL stuff.
I know what you're saying.
Like, he just wants to coach a program.
Yes.
I'm just trying to.
No, well, it's actually a really good point because I'll even take St. John's. St. John's has a general manager, my guy, Matty A, who I was texting with earlier to make sure he leaves my dad tickets tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Matty Hook it up, Matty.
So Matty's like the portfolio, the money guy. Right. He's great at his job. He's terrific. So Rick Pitino doesn't have to do that. That is Matt and right, others at the school. So I'm not saying Belichick's going to be in there with a slide. Hey, year one, we'll give you $750 and if you invest this problem.
On,
no, he'll be able to circumvent that nonsense. But what he won't be able to do is build a roster through continuity, which I know would be very appealing to him because it would enable him to build a team better, quicker. You know what I would do with Bill? I'm going to give Bill some advice. What I would do if I'm Bill Belichick, how much money is he having? He's led a very simple life. I know he got divorced, so he lost half his money. But I'm not trying to count this money, but that happens. He's got a ton of money in the bank. He's got his boat. He doesn't have some elaborate mansion. Maybe the young girl's making him spend some money he's not used to, but whatever. He's got it. Go and coach high school. Go and find, whether it's a Catholic school or a great public school, go and and where they will actually be coached up and you can be you.
So you're saying if you do love...
If I was him, I would coach high school.
Yeah.
I really would. I mean,
there's still more of an appeal with North Carolina. I mean, the challenge.
Yeah,
of it,
I know.
Like,
but
high school just doesn't really matter.
No, but I'm not talking about like a little tiny high school in Long Island or where we live now.
Or
no
Texas
disrespect.
Or something.
No, wherever. But some of these facilities do, like IMG, down in Florida, and some of these other powers, like Bishop, I want to say Bishop Norman out in Las Vegas. Mm. I'm not saying he's going to take over that program because they're well set off. But
Bill, you Bill Belichick,
you're
the greatest.
Stadiums are sick. 12,000-13,000. They have bubbles to practice in. And if you just love football, which we know he does,
right,
and you can circumvent the nonsense, that's why I think he'd probably be happier.
But remember, you mentioned the key part for his son. Obviously, his son would be more appealing
to be
at the college level.
So daddy's got to open the door and then leave it for his son? Is that what it is? Is that all it is?
I think Bill Belichick wants to coach. Right? Let's just
I know
some
he does.
Okay. We can agree that he wants to coach. And I think he would prefer to coach in the NFL. He also wants the record. Like, that's a big part of this, too. Go chase Shula's record. He's not going to get that at North Carolina or certainly in high school. But if he doesn't have an option to coach in the NFL, I just think he loves the game so much, he wants to coach football. And then if you're talking about passing it over to his son, that would lead you to college where maybe he doesn't have to deal with all the bullcrap of it. Point is, going back to the Giants, I would never in a million years at this particular point hire Bill Belichick to be the head coach.
And it's because more of the interpersonal skills that you said were in the documentary, like an antiquated, hands-off.
Now, you could also look at the lowly Atlanta Falcons and say, well, maybe they made a big mistake. This team has been a disaster. They have talent this year. They've been a disaster with Raheem Morris. And even at the time, like, I wanted Bill. I love Bill. I told you. And then I kind of understood why they made the hire of Raheem Morris and thought it was going to be good. But you can't tell me that they wouldn't be better without Bill Belichick on the field this year.
Yeah.
But I just think his style.
Yep. No, style's a little different.
I'm telling you, dude, after watching that show, it was uncomfortable. I love Bill Belichick, but uncomfortable and toxic working environment. Mm. Like,
I do have to see it. You've been saying that for a while.
It's the complete opposite of anything that in any workplace ever in 2024 going into 2025 you would want.
Understood. But don't you think that maybe the Bill Belichick you're seeing yuck it up? I was watching last night with the Mannings. Don't you think he's kind of loosened up? Don't you think having a 23-year-old girlfriend maybe changed?
Maybe
changed a little bit.
Maybe.
You know?
But still the football coach in him, like...
Well, think about this, Al. So you and I, me a little... And I've been this way more than you, earlier than you, I should say. And maybe even slightly more than you now. I believe the Giants should make changes. You're on board with that as well. I would absolutely hire Bill Belichick. You would not. For the Giants, who would you hire?
I would do everything I could to get Ben Johnson. Remember, it's the Giants now. And it's appealing because you're assuming here the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I hate the idea
that's
of
going. That's not a bad answer. Let it process.
He's probably going to be the. Dude, you watch the Lions play football. The offensive scheme is just.
Yeah, I know.
It's beautiful to watch. I mean, the design on these plays, like, if you're looking to build a team of offense, which is the way of the league now, and you have a top pick, which makes you appealing.
Yep.
And it's Giants ownership, which you know they're just dying to let somebody have this job long term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's. He's the best young or whatever candidate out there.
That's a good answer. You'd have to know how Ben feels about the top two quarterbacks, you know, Shador and Ward.
Well, I think you'd know the answer if he said yes or no to the job.
That's true. You see, if I'm the Giants, I'd call Vrabel. I mean, I want my Jets
Kingsbury?
To get him. Not for the Giants.
Okay. What about for the Jets?
A little.
I know it's different
more
circumstances.
Open to it, but I don't love it.
I was just
either.
Curious where you stood on Kingsbury.
Don't
overall.
Love it.
So you'd go Vrabel for the. You go Belichick.
Vrabel
one.
Number one for the Jets.
No, for Giants.
Belichick.
And Vrabel number two?
Yep.
See, I'm not going down that road. I think the Jets need something different. I would stick with Rodgers and go veteran head coach if I'm the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Vrabel's a veteran.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I just don't think he's the best veteran option. And for even Flores.
Who's better as a veteran option?
I'd take Flores. Well, Gruden would be an obvious one.
Gruden's a couple years with the Raiders. We talked about this.
Also, if you want Belichick, he'd never do it. But that would be a better spot with a veteran quarterback. He even talked up Rodgers, as a matter of fact.
They did. I saw that.
A couple weeks ago, we never mentioned that. But I think for the Giants, if you're starting from scratch and you have a top pick.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
You try to lure Ben Johnson, who is the clear best right now offensive mind.
And you're not worried.
Can you trade for Sean McVay? I mean, would he even want to come to New York?
I think he's a West Coast guy,
though.
McVay's awesome. But don't you think, I mean, like the Jets, don't you think the Giants need a proven leader? We don't know if Ben Johnson's a leader.
You know, it's infuriating.
They need that.
They could have had Jim Harbaugh. How about the friggin' Bears? Harbaugh wanted the job.
I know he did.
And they turned him down.
And he played for the Bears.
That's what I'm saying.
And he coached that Big Ten country out there.
You couldn't have a better
Michigan.
Fish.
That made no sense. Well, that's why they're the Bears.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
Right, and that's even worse than the Giants, although now you can say they have the quarterback in place, but still, what a disaster. We hope that the Jets and Giants don't do that, specifically the Giants, because if they did keep Shane and Dable,
mm-hmm.
drafted a young quarterback and screwed it up next year,
mm-hmm.
now you're back to square one again in year two of a new quarterback. I would clean house.
They'd have to give him an extension, as you've said, by the way.
Yeah,
if they're back, there's no way that they're back in Lame Ducks with a first overall pick.
I'm not sure that they would.
Well.
It's time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
All right, that's where we look at the week in review in the NFL. So week 14 in the rearview mirror, BT, a couple takeaways for me. The Vikings-Falcons game, just one quick note on the Falcons who were pathetic. No TDs, 8 interceptions in the last 4 games for Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's embarrassing. This was a guy that they signed to take him to the next level. That's why they drafted Penix. Cousins stinks. He should be benched. And the Vikings on the opposite side of that, they move on from Kirk Cousins. They draft McCarthy, bring in Sam Darnold. Dude, Sam Darnold slinging it, throwing it all over the field. Maybe my point of bringing this game up is more about Minnesota overall, maybe being more of a legitimate threat than we thought initially. I know last week we both had, I think we both had him in the top 5
yep.
in the power rankings for the first time. So we're obviously giving credence to what they've been doing here, but that was an impressive performance for me. I thought that maybe Atlanta would keep that game closer. Minnesota's 11-2. They and Darnold is looking great and confident, so the Vikings deserve some credit here. They look as good as anybody else in the NFC.
You want to roll through your whole list, or you want to go back and forth?
No, we go back and forth.
All right, so I've got really the opposite of them at this point. Hmm. With an 11-win team and starting to hit some stride here. I got the 49ers. I mean, is the run over? Let's face it. The 49ers have gone backwards fast, and some of it's because of injuries and, you know about C-Mac, whatever. But they have 6 wins now. It's the middle of December. And 3 years in a row, they won double figures every single year, including 13 or 12 a year ago. I just, you know, they don't have a lot of cap space. I was looking at how do they dig themselves out of this. They're like 22nd or 23rd in cap space in 25. So, you know, you really have to wonder, without a standout quarterback on the roster, like a true difference maker, some age and some important spots, some deficiencies with the ability to move some money around. Is that it for the Niners?
Right. Has the window closed? You don't believe in Purdy?
Not to the extent of, you know, like the top 5 or 6 in football, no. And I like Brock Purdy. I love what he represents. He's tough, but no.
Still believe in a head coach. I mean, could this just be a down year? I think you're onto something, though. Like, it could either be just a down year or the end of their window.
Yep.
For that,
I would bet the latter on that.
I'll stay in the NFC West here with my other couple. I'm going to tandem here because I got one more thing that I wanted to get to. The Rams, we touched on a little bit before. I mean, that's an impressive performance. Stafford looks great. Running back is terrific. It basically, Sean McVay is doing things that I didn't think was possible. Outside of Andy Reid, I know we always talk about the Harbaughs, like McVay, I know he won the Super Bowl, but it kind of gets overlooked, the job that he's done consistently.
Yep.
With this Rams team, because they reached the pinnacle, the apex, they went to the Super Bowl, lost, went to the Super Bowl, won, and it was kind of like, all right, well, now no Aaron Donald, like the Rams are moving on. Dude, they're a competitive football team, and they could be as good as anybody in the West. And on that note, so not only McVay and the Rams and a big win over the Bills at home, an impressive win, but the Seahawks. I thought the Cardinals would win that game. I thought the Cardinals had shown signs of being tougher this year. You got to give Seattle credit here with Geno Smith. Hard to believe. They put up a 30 spot on Arizona. They've been impressive as well. Seattle leading the way in the NFC West at 8-5. I just have kind of dismissed them and overlooked them. Rookie head coach and Geno not believing in them. But they're 8-5 is 8-5, and a divisional win. Good for the Seahawks.
Yeah, good for Seattle. And I do love McVay. I think what happens too, you got to incorporate this when you talk about how good he is. Like, they free, and it wasn't a bad move because it put them in a position to win. But think about how many first round picks they forfeited over the years. So it's not even like he's got the benefit of a first round stud coming in. He's just a great coach. All right, so Sam Darnold's renaissance is well documented. How about a little love for Baker? Now, Baker Mayfield is just fun to watch. You know, Baker Mayfield has two 4 touchdown games this year and 4 3 touchdown games. Imagine if Aaron Rodgers had 4 different times this year where he threw 3 touchdowns. I mean, so he's rehabilitated his image. You know, Cleveland for a bunch of years and Carolina for a minute and the Rams where he was acquired midseason, just bouncing around, but he's tough. His teammates love him, and he's done this year. You know, he's going to throw 35, 36 touchdowns, maybe more if he stays healthy the rest of the way, without Mike Evans, who missed a lot of time as well. So Baker's just a baller. He's the kind of guy, whether it's in the schoolyard or a college bowl game or an NFL Sunday on the road, he's a guy that you follow out of the tunnel, man. His teammates love him, and Baker could play.
Agreed. I had that on my list. They could be a dangerous team in the NFC as well. Like, they're not on the level of the Eagles or Lions, and I guess you're going to give the Vikings, who says, some credit, but...
And the Packers probably a little bit better as well. I don't know.
I mean, they might be better. Good. They might be better. I don't know. I think I might trust the Bucs and Baker a little bit. Yeah. I like Green Bay, but something about their year down year. Last one for me was the Steelers. We've talked about them a bunch. Dude, they're 10-3. Like, they continue to tough it out. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about them, I don't know if you watch this. Do you watch the in-season Hard Knocks?
No, I have. I think the Colts did one a year or two ago. Right. Like, I've never seen it.
Okay, this is different this year. And I'm with you. Like, I haven't watched actual Hard Knocks or in-season.
No, I watch all the Hard Knocks, just not the in-season one.
I didn't get into this year with the Bears. I've been kind of out of it the last couple.
I got you.
This is different because it's following the AFC North. And it's kind of, it keeps it in real time as opposed to where you would think maybe they'd be behind.
Yeah.
The inside looks of Harbaugh, Tomlin, and that's why I bring up Tomlin. I mean, Mike Tomlin is such a great coach and such a badass.
Mm-hmm.
It is so impressive. This dude sits back. He looks like a badass when he's eating a bag of Cheetos or Fritos, actually. It was chili Fritos he was eating. And he still looks like he's going to rip your heart out. And the way that he coaches and to get this team with Russell Wilson leading the way, with Justin Fields being the backup, and knowing the way the quarterback situation is going to be coming into the year, the foundation that they built, bringing in Arthur Smith to be a good offensive coordinator for him, 10-3 in that division, beating the Ravens. I mean, that what an impressive year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're as dangerous as anybody in the AFC.
I love Tomlin. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they scored 40-something points, and you and I, as we put them on our power rankings,
yeah,
where we kind of needed to see that, how many, you know, 17, 14, or 20, 13 games could you win? Not they're going to drop 40 regularly, but at least they showed a little more offensive diversity, which I think was the final thing that I know I needed to see. No, I mean, come on, before I really believed in them, Mike Tomlin is the best. I mean, even just rocking the chain outside of his shirt.
Yeah,
I don't care what anybody says. You know, he owns the room, man. Mike Tomlin is the best. My last one, I don't really even think I really had many because, you know, I'm pretty much just a Jets fan. You know that. But this is crazy that he's in my division. Josh Allen's my all-time favorite non-Jet. Josh Allen. I love watching Josh Allen play. I think about all the quarterbacks I've watched play. You know, Brady was obviously the best in terms of winning, but not like special watching him. Same with Montana. Wasn't really fast and not incredibly physically imposing. Elway was really fun to watch, but like when Elway was first coming up, I was really young, so I didn't really look at him quite that way. And then when he won, he was older, he was a little bit diminished. Josh Allen, dude, I know Lamar's a beast and Mahomes, but Josh Allen is big and strong and fast and tough, and he can throw it 65 yards on a string. I mean, he is just, he's everything you want. He's just a guy, that's about Baker. Like, I mean, Baker's got those qualities as well in terms of guys following him. But Josh Allen, if you went to the factory for quarterbacks, I mean, what doesn't Josh Allen have? He's got a rocket. He's got the body. He's got the speed. He's got the respect. Josh, I could watch him play all day.
He's got the wife. Harry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I like, you're a fan of, Hoff just said that in my ear. You're a fan of hers. I like, what the hell's that her popular song, her most popular, you know her, BT, or no?
Josh Allen's wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Haley Steinfeld?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know music.
I think so.
But what do you mean you think so? You said he's got the wife. You should know who she is.
Well, I know of the
wife. We had a nice bounce back from that breakup, which was fairly public.
She came out and took a shot.
I saw.
Who's she dating, his ex-wife? Because she said, oh, Mike
knows.
Doesn't play for the team, owns a team, and then it got hacked.
Sure, it was hacked. Wink, wink.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying that at all. But yes, Josh Allen as a quarterback. I want to look up this song because I think I was listening to it the other day.
Oh, you actually listened to it?
Yeah.
Like, went out, saw it? And played
Haley
it or
Steinfeld.
Just...
Starving.
How's
can
it
you
go?
Look that one up, Dove? You have it or you want me to play it here for my life? Haley Steinfeld,
we
Starving.
We should have anything else on that phone that might pop up when you play it.
Private browser. No, we're good. Starving is a great, to me, it's a great song. It really gets me going in the morning. You guys have it or you want me to just
play
it?
Wait, you play this in the morning?
Yeah, well, it gets set for my day.
Me, I should just walk away.
Gets me pumped up.
This is like what a teenage girl would play in the morning.
Gets my mood set.
In the morning?
Sets my mood for the day.
All right, whatever it takes, man. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this in the car or is this like when you wake up?
No, like wake up, brushing the teeth, about to get in the shower.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
How's the video?
Maybe this is a teenage girl song. You're right.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, yeah, you're going to hear that down the hall
of
my house pretty soon.
No, I don't even know if I have that on the iTunes. That must be my wife's phone. That wasn't mine.
Did you get it wrong? The wrong song? What? You didn't want to admit it. Own it. Hey, there's a lot of cheese ball songs I love. Listen, I don't care. I don't care.
I do like that
song. Jesse's girl comes up.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
I don't care who's looking at me. Jesse is a friend.
It's got to be difficult for the broken E, what would you call it? Like the like his ex, right?
Yeah.
Whoever it may be in the spot.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard for the ex of a famous person to see them
move on.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Like when Taylor dumps Kelce because he's famous, you think she's going to have a rough time with him because his first relationship will be public.
Or
Brady.
Or Kelce's ex seeing him now, or Taylor's ex seeing her now.
Yeah, like, well, he was famous too. I got you both ways. Yeah, that's got to be tough.
You know what?
Let me just slink into an anonymity and let nobody bother me for 6 months while I recover. And
that's why I like having, you know, a little bit of a public job. It's like, you know.
Keep them on their toes a little bit.
Look at me now, exes. You didn't think I was good enough. Here I am, dressing like a king and yelling and screaming.
Hey, listen, the scepter could have been fun.
Haley Steinfeld. Who's to say it wasn't? Some cosplay.
You've had it that long?
No. That was a different one. No, all right.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Hi, Susan. Thanks for joining us.
Tonight I'm going to see the revival of Our Town.
I have no idea what that's about.
I'd be lying.
Can you educate us?
Sounds great.
Just a minute. You don't know Our Town by Thornton Wilder?
You're going to make us look like complete idiots, but I think the answer is no.
Goodness.
What is it? Our Town?
Educate us.
Our Town.
Wilder? Our Town.
I know
Thornton
the town.
Wilder. Jeez, Thornton Wilder.
Oh,
Thornton?
Thornton. And I never heard of him, Susan.
I understand how you
did.
He barely graduated high school, Susan.
You may not know this. I didn't go to college.
I read Our Town in ninth grade.
Oh, that kind of school?
Okay,
yeah.
You might know the star. His name is Richard Thomas, okay?
Sorry, I'm not familiar with him.
John Boy?
John Boy? I know John Boy. John...
Hey, his name is Richard Thomas.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. No, like John Boy Media, I know. I don't know Richard Thomas.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
I was legit like, what does John Boy have to do with this?
I had no idea what was going on. It's like I was intellectually drowning, a slow death on the air. That was going on
come
here.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, never
Help
heard
us
of
out, him. Susan.
So I was still trying to look it up. Our Town?
Our Town. Which one? Is it R as in hour?
No, hour, yes.
Hour.
Our Town. Come on, off. Now you're really dumbing it down. Do you guys have that audio ready of Gastineau? So I guess, where was this BT? You showed it to me, and then Hoff came in, and we saw it. I saw it circulating.
Yep.
Was it some card show or something?
About a year or so ago.
This was a year or so ago?
Oh, yeah. No, it resurfaced. It was at least a year ago. Possibly two, but it wasn't like this weekend. It was a while ago.
Why is it resurfacing now? Is it because of that jet show that's coming
Probably.
Out?
Somebody held on to it. Yeah, we got 30 for 30 about the sack exchange, which is going to be obviously really good. But anyway, Gatineau goes up, and Brett Favre is... It looks like Mark goes up to him because Brett's got like a lot of helmets and stuff, and Mark just kind of wanders over, and he starts to tell... He's like, yeah, I got a problem with you. You took away my sack record.
Yeah.
By taking a dive for Strahan.
I think he said my sack.
Well,
I'm just saying, I think that's what he said.
That one between
then,
but
it did look like they were going over, like Favre was like, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah, first I think Brett Favre was like, oh, yeah, I know this guy.
Right, Favre went over like, whatever, hey, all right.
I wonder why you plowed right through that. Usually you're a sophomore because I am. I thought I'd at least get a chuckle. There you go. Hearty laugh. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, sure.
And I think as it went a little further along, I think Brett Favre was like, whoa, because at one point, Mark even says, can we play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go. Go ahead, guys.
I thought we met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
That was Brett's handler then taking him away.
Wisely.
Brett looked like he was confused if Gastineau was joking.
At first, for sure.
And then it was probably like, okay, trying to process... What do I do? Is this guy going to either come sack me or like, what does he want me to say here? I don't want to be me. Like,
yeah.
I thought Brett Favre handled it well.
Me too.
Gastineau seems like he was out there.
Mark is, Mark's just, I don't know what's wrong with Mark. I'm not going to start throwing guesses out there, but I remember as far back as this would have been 2004, maybe.
Right.
Before a playoff game. I was doing something at the old ESPN Zone. Remember that one in Times Square? Remember that?
Right.
And it was Jets Steelers, and it was a big game, and Mark comes up, and Mark was there. And yeah, I'm kind of working the crowd, whatever, and I'm sitting with Mark before I introduce him to go up. And, you know, he's like, do me, this is 20 years ago. And he says, hey, do me a favor. He goes, just don't make fun. I'm not saying this to make light. I just don't know where Mark's at. He said, just don't make fun of me up there. Fun of you? I said, why would I do that, man? I said, come on, all the sacks. I said, these fans love you. This is the last thing I would do would make fun of you. No way. I loved you. I had your jersey. I used to wear to church. Like, he was really concerned about how he was going to be treated, and he just didn't seem right. He just didn't seem with it. And
I feel like that's been the case. You're right for a while.
Yeah, and now I see this video, and I think that Brett and certainly his handlers were able to quickly realize that, number one, Mark may
have been serious,
and maybe more importantly, Mark's not exactly in the right state of mind.
I remember seeing something, this was years ago, his daughter, Brittany Gastineau.
Oh, my God. She was the, Brittany was, she was on, she was one of the first reality stars. No, yeah. She was one of the first reality stars.
Maybe she was good friends with Hilton.
I don't think she was friends with Paris and Nicole Richie. I think it was before that.
Whatever the show was.
Was it Grown Up Gastineau?
Yeah, maybe it was.
It was Grown Up
Gastineau. Gastineau Girls.
Okay, oh, yeah.
This is going back almost 20
years. Yeah, she was one of the first ones.
The guest, her and her mom.
Yes.
And I remember seeing Mark on there in limited spurts. Remember, this is 20 years ago, uh-huh. roughly.
Uh-huh.
And he seemed off.
He is. I don't know if
that's sad, man.
You know, I don't know if it's concussions. I don't know if it's steroids, which he admits he devoured. I don't know, but it's sad. Mark Gastineau. And then you look at the other members of the Sack Exchange. Joe Klecko is razor sharp. Marty Lyons, he just stopped doing the Jets radio games. Razor sharp. Abdul Salam, we just lost. But he was fairly sharp until the end. Yeah, Mark's had a rough run.
By the way, before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019. One more, because we've been talking football this hour and Belichick and stuff like that. Belichick to the Giants, it's not happening.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I'm just saying I would be interested.
I'm just saying there's no, like, it's just not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What made you go back
I'm just thinking about it. I just wanted to go back to that and just say, we could talk about it, and there's going to be speculation. There's going to be maybe Giant fans hoping that it might happen, mm-hmm. or some don't want it to happen. It's not happening.
Okay, so forget about the Giants for a little bit here. Do you think that how much of his, I don't know, of insertion of UNC into the equation is to motivate another team than the Giants to say, hey, listen, we're going to have 8-9 openings here, and if Bill signs with UNC, he's not going to quit. Well, he did quit on the Jets, you never know.
But I mean, he wants to coach. I think he wants to coach, so maybe it's just, I don't know if it's floating it out there like, hey, I'll take this job as a threat, but like, well, if I can't get an NFL job, I'm going there. And by the way, look, you could look at the, like, where would he be going? If it seems like Dallas was going to keep Mike McCarthy, right? To me, that was the layup. Okay, move on from McCarthy, hire Belichick, have him go run the Cowboys, you know, in Jerry's last few years, whatever it may be. Where's he going? He's not going to San Francisco, not going to Arizona, LA, nowhere in the NFC West. He's going to go to New Orleans.
I got some names for you. Ready?
New Orleans. Go ahead.
I'm going to start with the Saints. Would he be interested in the Saints?
Probably not.
Why?
Would you? Derek Carr? Chicago? I mean, would the Bears want him?
Yeah, and they're stuck with him, too, because there's a post-June 1 dead cap hit of about $28 million. So financially, probably not really
the
move. And
they're not going to have a top pick. I mean, nope. They're 5-8 right now, New Orleans is.
The Jets, he's not obviously going to revisit that.
Chicago might be the most clear fit.
Raiders?
Why? To Bill Belichick?
I just don't see Bill in the glitzy, you know, town of Las
Raiders,
Vegas.
If I'm the Raiders, the one move, if I'm changing from Antonio Pierce, would try to be to get Deion there and his son. Like that's a move that
could work. That seems to fit. What about the Jaguars for Bill?
I guess good owner with Khan. Yeah, maybe.
Florida, a lot of older residents down there. You know, I mean,
I think New England transplants. Trevor Lawrence in place. Yep. I think that one probably makes the most sense.
The Giants are
Sean
on the
Khan
list.
Sean Khan not messing around.
Uh-huh.
He went that way with Peterson. It didn't work. I don't think he's going to go with a first-timer. You know, he's an owner that's going to want. Yeah, I think that's probably the best fit. I think Belichick there.
What about the Bears? I mean, you've got a defensive reputation, a starving fan base for championship.
The history. I know, but a young quarterback, you know, his first year. Is Bill Belichick the guy that you want to develop? That I don't know.
It is if you have Josh McDaniels next to him calling the plays.
They turned down Harbaugh, the idiots. Harbaugh's a no-brainer. He played there. He wanted to be there. Yep. Everything was set up for you, and you said no.
What was the reason? Do we know?
Other than
being
foolish, I don't know.
Was it money? I don't know, because Jim, Jim is very greedy. I mean, we don't want our money, but Jim is very greedy.
Yeah, I get it. Look, point is, Bill and the Giants, it's not happening. All right, let's finish up here on the phones with Soto. Jake is in Boston. Want to talk Juan Soto. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Sal. Just wanted to congratulate you, myself, all the other Mets fans. We've been bullied for years. I can remember being bullied as a kid. And
bullied?
You know, we're no longer the little brother. Maybe it was just an inferiority complex, little brother complex. We are just no longer the little brother. I can now root for the Yankees.
Well, hold on, Jake. And, Jake, hold on a sec, sir. You still have to do this little thing called winning.
100%. But, you know, for the next 20 years, we've got the owner. We've got the George Steinbrenner. And now I just want to offer my condolences to BT. Sal and I, we know how that feels. And, you know, I think it's going to be... This isn't going to be the first free agent or the first time you get our scraps or leftovers. So I just want to say sorry and congratulations to all the Mets fans out there.
There you go, Jake. Good energy. Good call. I appreciate the kindness of Jake trying to offer you BT condolences. You and other Yankee fans take on behalf of the Mets.
If I accept them.
You don't want the condolences?
Not the way it was presented.
Oh, okay.
Take our scraps.
Well,
there's a little dig in there. Like there's a sincere condolence.
It's gonna
and then
be
there's a mock.
It's going to be a weird, like we talked about it before, how you might be embracing the fun challenge of building a team differently.
Already have moved on,
right? But it is a different feeling, a unique feeling that you're going to have to get used to being, you know, little bro.
Well, I mean, little bro has to sprout up and do something first.
Yeah,
little bro's got to hit puberty.
No, big bro,
you just grow a little bit.
We have.
You have. I have a question for you, and I'm not saying
like
today.
Chaz yesterday told me, who do you have? DiMaggio, Mantle. Chaz, I got news for you. They're dead. We got Juan Soto. What do you mean? Hey. I mean, Mantle's dead. It's been a long time. DiMaggio's dead. Garrick, did we go on? Whitey Ford, unfortunately. I mean, you got to move on.
Yogi's no longer with us, unfortunately, yeah.
Soto's here, alive and well in Queens.
Yeah, right. Doesn't have Judge behind him. But listen, I do have a question, you know, and I'm not saying today's the day. I'm not even saying tomorrow's the day. But there's got to be an expiration on congratulating.
Yeah. I don't even like being congratulated.
You know, like
if anybody should be, it should be me. I mean, because I predicted it.
You did.
So that you could give me congratulations. We're not signing Soto.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like saying Happy New Year on February 9th. I mean, what's the point? When do we stop? You know, when do we move on?
I'm okay with the congratulations, Sal. You got one right. I'm okay with that. Like, we could pass that.
Uh-huh.
We give you, let it sink in like a month or so. I mean, I was still getting ripped for the NL East 3 years later. I mean,
that was a rough fall. That was a rough fall. And it's a bit of swift recovery, my friend.
Yeah, well, I needed this one.
Took a while, but you did get it.
Let's get one more. Darren is calling from Tampa, Florida. What's up, Darren?
Hey, bud.
What's going on?
Sal,
let's go, buddy. We got him, huh?
Here we go, Darren. Yes.
Let's go, baby. Listen. BT, I what I wanted to say is, I mean, you're taking it very well, but you also have to understand, I mean, this is the last piece of what's been a colossal organizational failure over years, right?
Yep.
I mean, you guys go out and you sign Bryce Harper, who was an MVP who wanted to play in Yankee Stadium. You then potentially flip Thorpe for Cease. You would have had Harper and Judge and a rotation that would have included Cole, Rodon, Cease, Michael King, Louis Steele, and Clark Schmidt. You wouldn't need to be on the market for Yamamoto and lose out there. I mean, Howe and Cashman
not a
are
mistake.
100% to blame for this failure.
This is not, and thank you for the call, Darren. This is not a one-year thing. And by the way, it was, you know, it is what it is, like it's over. But now you got to move on. And the Yankees could look to Walker or Bellinger for the Mets. It's got to be the season of Soto Sake. That's what we're calling for you.
Yeah.
Nobody else can be serving Soto Sake this year. Only the Mets, because Soto's in place. Yeah. Sasaki might be following.
I'll still take a shot at Judge, which is the top shelf best player in the city. Actually, the sport.
All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks to Hoff. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to everybody listening and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.